Good evening.
It's good to worship with you as we begin another Lenten journey with our Savior to the cross. God has written the greatest love story ever. Nothing else compares. And yet, how many people have not read it or are not connected to it? He not only wrote it, he lives it. The pinnacle of this love story is the cross. Not any cross. The cross Jesus died on with you in mind. And God's love is evident day after day in countless ways. What a fitting way then to begin another Lenten journey, Valentine's Day, as God is all about love. With those thoughts in mind, we continue on page 5 with the singing of the verses, "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now." We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
We continue with the singing of "I Will Sing of My Redeemer."
Thank you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
We pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation.
We, your creation, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
For this Ash Wednesday service, as we can begin and continue then our Lenten journey with our Savior to the cross, focused on the greatest love story of all time. A reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Joel, the second chapter, a reminder that we bring consequences upon ourselves. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace.
A reading from Holy Scripture, Revelation chapter 3, a simple encouragement. Don't fall asleep. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. We are we are encouraged to keep our priorities aligned with God's. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Lord, have mercy on us."
And give us your peace. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue now with the next hymn.
God's grace and peace and mercy remain ours in great abundance. And we're clearly reminded of this fact as we journey with our Savior to the cross once again. The greatest love story of all time begs the question then, that age-old question, what is love? How is it defined? How is it shown or to be shown?
what it is, what it is not. People have written books and blogs on this subject about love. However, one book answers it best. And we, by God's grace, know what that book is, the book of life, the Word of God. Here the Lord reminds us that love is more than a feeling, a fleeting emotion. It is more than just words. It's not motivated by ulterior motives. It is not abusive. It is not permissive. So what is love? Well, our first look at it this Lenten season comes to us from God through his prophet Joel, where there God reminds us that he is full of love. In fact, he abounds with love. And what does that abounding love consist of? Well, for starters, it consists in a call to repentance. A call to repentance out of love was necessary at the time the prophet Joel did his ministry. Now, there's some question. Did Joel do his ministry before the southern kingdom, mainly made up of the tribe of Judah, went into that Babylonian captivity? And it would be fitting if it had happened at that time, because the people of Judah, that southern kingdom, had drifted from the Lord, had committed spiritual adultery, and needed to be called out, or else bring those consequences of captivity upon themselves. But there's also evidence, which also fits, that after the captivity, Joel was sent to preach this message of repentance. Because then too, even after the captivity, the remnant who came back, well, it didn't take long to fall into spiritual adultery. And so God, out of love, sent a prophet to call them to repentance. Whatever that time in history is really immaterial, because the focus is on the message. The message which was necessary for the people then and still necessary for us today. Now, what was happening at the time of the prophet Joel to the people of Israel, God's chosen people for the line of the Savior to come from? Well, because of their spiritual adultery, bringing into their homes and their worship life false gods, gods who were clearly against the God of the Bible and what he stood for, well, God sent a serious wake-up call in the form of locusts. Not just one or two. Not just 100 or 200, thousands of locusts. And what happens when thousands of locusts come into your yard? And if you are dependent on farming for your livelihood, what don't you want to see on your land? It got a point across. Well, almost. The people cried out to the Lord, but they weren't calling out to him out of sincere heart. They were more calling out to him because it was the thing to do. Hey, you know, maybe we just call out to the Lord and maybe rip our garments or every other garment and just speak the words like they're a magic formula. The Lord will forgive us and he'll take these locusts away. But the Lord can read the hearts of people. And so what does he say? I don't want your torn garments. I want your hearts rendered. I want you to turn away from that spiritual adultery and truly come to confess me as Lord and Savior. Then I will continue to show compassion and remove those locusts. God's word is able to cut to the heart, because his word is living and active. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart and the actions as well. There's no escaping. Even today, there's no escaping. And so that message of rend your heart is still very applicable and calls out to us as well. Rend your heart. And we see why we need to. Because the Lord continues to send wake-up calls to us because we, people today, are still committing spiritual adultery. Building up all sorts of gods. In the gospel reading from Luke, the god of his heart was money and material possessions. And resting on those material possessions so maybe I can take life easy. Missing the point of life. And what are other wake-up calls that God sends into our life as a reminder and a call to repentance? Wars and rumors of wars and famine and homelessness and you name it. All things that don't really have to take place because God is a very generous God and has provided more than we need or could use, but we don't use it well. We bring consequences upon ourselves because our hearts are not always aligned with the Lord. And some hearts, not at all. Because by nature, we all start out that way. And only by the grace of God are we led to confess Him as God and to recognize Jesus as the Savior from our sins. And so motivated then to rend our hearts to the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't want to see our ruin. He doesn't want to ruin our crops. He doesn't want to ruin our lives. But out of love, abounding love, He calls us to repentance so that we are not ruined for all eternity. He wants your heart, not just your actions. And so with that rending of heart, that tearing away from that which controls us and keeps us away from God, he calls us then to repentance, to do that 180, to make a U out of our life rather than an O out of our life, because an O just goes right back into what we should be getting away from. God is not to be treated as a convenience. Where do you see perhaps you treating God in your life as a convenience? If the weather is nice, I'll make time for you, perhaps, Lord. If there's not a game I want to watch on TV or attend in person, I make time for you. It's not that the Lord wants us to be unsafe in inclement weather. It's not that the Lord says you can't go watch a football game or a baseball game or whatever. It's the attitude behind it. Is God just a matter of convenience for you, or is He the God of your life? Do we see the need for calls to repentance in our own life from a God who abounds with love for you and for all people? And since He's not to be treated as a God of convenience, that calls, as Jesus points out, for self-denial, self-sacrifice. It's not about me, myself, and I. How can I be bigger barns? Barns that are going to burn up anyway or last day, or going to go to somebody who doesn't even appreciate them. Again, it's not that you can't have those things. It's the attitude towards those things that God is driving at. Think of where else then in our life we fall short of the expectations of God, the ruts that we fall into. You know, with our worship life, with meditation during the week, paying attention to the word of our Lord, in showing compassion to people as God shows compassion to us. What is it that we are addicted to? Could be drugs. Could be alcohol, could be porn, could be gossip. What do we find ourselves making excuses for? Or making excuses for someone else rather than calling them out to repentance? Yeah, a God of love who abounds in love, He needs to call us out to repentance, doesn't He?
And not just during the season of Lent, but every day. And what else is there every day in addition to that call to repentance? His mercies are fresh and new each and every day. For God is a God who abounds in love. Thus the reminder here before us of his desire to show that love and to give his love to thousands, to all people. He had not forgotten about his promise of a Savior, even as he was calling the people of Israel to repentance. Because of what he wants for all people. He wants to take care of his chosen people, and he wants to take care of all people. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He shows compassion to all people, physically and spiritually. He has seen to it that the word of the Lord has been spread throughout the world at one time or another. And again, he did send us on that great commission. How are we doing it following? It's not on him. He is compassionate day after day. As noted before, like Psalm 145 says, he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Think of how much is wasted day after day. It's not because he hasn't provided. He is compassionate, abounding in love. Now, he could be more intense with us, with his wake-up calls, but because he abounds in love and is compassionate and patient, he holds back. Do we recognize that and say thank you to God for holding back? And do we see the hand of God in our life, even as a nation, how we are protected yet as a nation from all the threats that the rest of the world is enduring, and we at times endure too? But it could be worse. But he is holding back. And he has his reasons. He could end this world right now. But he is patient because it hasn't ended. He knows who yet is coming to faith. And you just might be the one who plants the seeds of the gospel to connect that person to him. And the best evidence of God abounding in love comes in that truth about our Savior and what he did for us. It goes back to that truth and his desire of wanting all people to come to a knowledge of his truth and be saved. And at the heart of that salvation then comes the cross. The cross he was willing to give up his own son to die on so that we would not have to die on that cross or anywhere eternally, but rather live with him for all eternity. And only through the cross is that possible. Because through the cross, Jesus has taken all of our weak moments and sins and everything else that we fall short on. He took them upon himself. Where he paid for such in full. And because of that act, we are declared not guilty. What a beautiful truth. And then sealed by the fact that he rose 3 days later. Because of what Jesus has done, because of his truth and his grace and his love, together with the Father that overflows in abundance, we have the salvation that we need, and we have the ability to get through this life with all its hardships and tribulations along the way. Because all those things help us to stay focused where we need to stay focused, on the cross and what that cross has won for us. That cross is a reminder that God is serious about us. He is serious about his love. That's the greatest love story of all time. And you're part of it. Now, while Lent is not about what we give up as a token of spirituality toward a higher power, this annual Lenten journey and this theme for this particular Lenten season serves as a solid reminder for us to not keeping hanging on to what can keep us from giving our whole heart
to the God who abounds with love. For you. For all. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church on page 10. We pray, Holy and righteous God, as we begin again the solemn spiritual journey of Lent, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness. You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us understand that in incomprehensible love he suffered and died for us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
In silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
As we continue now with the sacrament, lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
pray. Lord God, our holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, and the biggest Valentine coming from God himself. You know what's great about God's Valentine to us, in addition to the fact that he abounds with love, is that his flowers never die out, his cards never get lost, right? His word endures forever, and he continues to provide for us day after day. So to God be the glory. As we do live a life of repentance, but we do that with a joyful heart, as the love of Christ compels us to not live for ourselves, but rather for him who died and who rose again. Let us not forget we live in that resurrection joy too. Have a great rest of your evening and work and Lenten journey in the Lord. Thank you.